Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Brittany here and Heather over there.
Hello. That was, you couldn't see it, but there was a little dance
it was
that
like
went with that.
My magic wand. So today we have a great conversation with our friend Marty all about Hanukkah and Judaism. And I don't know about you, but I learned so much.
So much. And I had, a very like small amount of information about Judaism and Hanukkah. And also, that was like learned years ago as a child. And I think to hear her perspective now as a mother raising Jewish children in a world that is very much not Jewish was really eye-opening. And I'm so glad she shared that with us.
I think oftentimes these conversations can be hard because, you and I were nervous leading up to this because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want, anybody to feel like they have to educate the dumb white lady. But I'm curious, and I think that's the difference, is being curious and open-minded is different than like being condescending, like, well, tell me about what you believe kind of thing.
There is a tone and an approach to having these conversations that like there's an undertone of respect, and I'm coming from a place of wanting to learn, and if you wouldn't mind, could you please share it with me? Because I think also, you can't come to somebody and expect them to teach you. I think you have to be willing to say, I'm not going to talk about that with you. Or, and I think you're going to hear us stumble our way through this a little bit. And I think that's okay too, to not be an expert on it. I'm not trying to be the expert on Hanukkah. I'm trying to ask questions of somebody who is an expert, who is willing to take time out of their day to share it with me.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think when you approach some these hard conversations like that, you certainly could still offend somebody, and I'm sure I did, but I think you're less likely to when somebody sees that you're coming from a good place and you have good intentions for the conversation.
Yeah. I have had it on my mind and heart lately that I want my kids to be exposed to more, cultures and religions, and just, not necessarily to like make up their own mind about it, but just so they know that the little bubble they live in isn't all there is. There are so many more perspectives and ideas out there. And I think like Marty did a great job of breaking down like what would be respectful for us to do with our kids so that they know these things.
Right. And I think that's definitely a barrier for a lot of people, is that they don't want to be offensive or they don't know what to do. And so they do nothing. And I don't think that it's very easy to avoid hard things. But I think if you go in with an open heart and a little bit of curiosity and a shit ton of respect, which those two words probably don't go together,
but
then I think you're okay. I think you will be granted the grace to have these conversations. And we are so thankful for Marty for doing that with us.
So we'll be back right after this quick break.
Hi, Marty. Welcome to Okayest Moms, the podcast. We're so excited to have you.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Will you start by telling our audience a little bit about yourself and how you started Everyday Jewish Mom?
Sure. So I'm a mom of two. And I have a YouTube channel and a blog called Everyday Jewish Mom, and I'm on all of the social medias in the same way. I started it 4 years ago because I grew up in a community that had a large Jewish population. And I know, Heather, you mentioned that you did too. But I am not currently living in a community with a large Jewish population. So my kids don't know a lot of other Jewish kids. And I realized that if I wanted my kids to like love their identity, that a lot of that work fell on me, right? That I was going to have to make that happen. And at the time, there were no other Jewish moms on YouTube who were not Orthodox, who were not very classically observant. And so since I was doing all of these things anyway, I figured I would share them. And that's how I started my YouTube channel.
That's awesome. So I grew up in the Bay Area. And as a kid, I remember half of my Girl Scout troop was Jewish. And so Hanukkah was just part of our like troop celebrations. And the same moms would come in to the classroom and we'd play dreidel and try latkes. I'm going to butcher that. And I just remember it being part of that. And I remember kind of like you said, that I realized, oh, my kids aren't getting the same thing. And that kind of like made me realize I'm the one who's going to have to bring that to them. So here we are.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we actually now live in a very diverse community where I'm in Maryland, and we're in one of the most diverse communities in the country. And so my kids are around people with all sorts of different backgrounds. So they're not the only ones who celebrate other holidays and have other food traditions and things like that. So it's very freeing in that way that they're not, they don't feel weird in that way because so everyone's different. But it's also really important to see people who are like you. And, you know, the only Jewish kids my kids know are the ones we go to temple with.
Yeah, totally. Representation totally matters.
And it's a hard balance to strike between having people only like yourself so that you don't feel out of place and having nobody like yourself so that you feel like you're a token or something like that. Yeah. So it's hard to find the balance of that.
Yeah.
You mentioned quickly, I want to throw in here, you mentioned Orthodox and not Orthodox. Sure. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Sure. So there's different branches of Judaism, and some are more observant than others. I really like to frame it as that they focus on different parts of our tradition more. So families who are Orthodox will observe the Sabbath, will observe Shabbat by not working on Saturdays, Friday night to Saturday night. They keep kosher. They follow the laws of kashrut. So they will not, they'll only eat certain meat that's killed in a certain way, processed a certain way. They won't mix milk and meat together. They won't eat shellfish and pork. And then there's conservative Jews who may follow some of those laws, but not as strictly. Like Orthodox women cover their hair when they're married, and many conservative women don't, or they may not. And then I'm a Reform Jew, and Reform Judaism is the largest group of Jews in the U.S. There's also Reconstructionist Jews, but as a Reform Jew, we don't keep kosher in our home, although I don't eat pork, which would still not be considered not keeping kosher, but it's like following the spirit of the law in one way. We light candles on Friday night for Shabbat, but then we don't follow the rules of not using electronics or not working and things like that. So we kind of function more in the secular world. My kids go to secular schools. They don't go to Jewish schools. But then we also focus more on things like social action and social justice. A lot of those things are coming at more out of the Reform community, whereas the Orthodox community is focused more on following kind of other laws of Judaism.
So interesting. I did not know that there were so many branches of it, but it makes sense, right?
Well, yes. And I'm sure that people will comment that I have not defined any of that correctly.
Well, we don't know.
But that's the idea. So Orthodox Jews tend to live near each other because you don't drive on the Sabbath. So you need to physically live near the temple that you go to. And also because you keep kosher, you want kosher restaurants and kosher grocery stores close to you. So I do not live near an Orthodox community, and so we don't see many Orthodox Jews where I am because they wouldn't be able to get to temple if you can't walk to temple.
When this episode goes live, it will be the second or third day of Hanukkah. So if it comes out on the 30th, which day of Hanukkah is that? No, I love this.
So we kind of count days of Hanukkah as nights of Hanukkah. All Jewish holidays start at night. They start at sundown. And so like we light, so the 28th was considered the first night of Hanukkah. But like all day, it's nothing. And then at sundown, we light the first candle.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right? So today would be considered the second night of Hanukkah, or the second day of Hanukkah, but we're lighting the third candle tonight.
Got it. Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Awesome.
You can't write it easily on a calendar.
Okay.
The third night of Hanukkah.
That's such a mom thing to say. I love it.
Well, it's confusing because it's not, I mean, except for Christmas Eve, which is very much the same idea that like Christmas is starting the night before, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it.
That's the one way that it helped you understand it.
Okay. So can you give us a Hanukkah 101 crash course and tell us a little bit about what celebrating Hanukkah looks like for your family specifically?
Yeah. So Hanukkah is actually a holiday that's based on historical events that happened around like 160 BCE. At that time,
Okay, we can edit it now if you want us to. Seriously.
Hang on.
And also, don't feel like you need to get too technical either with us. I know you want to get things right,
yeah,
but...
Yeah. Okay. So Hanukkah is actually based on some historic events. Back when the temple stood in Jerusalem, in like 160 BCE, the land of Israel was taken over by an invading army, and they told the Jews they weren't allowed to practice Judaism, a thing that commonly happens to our people throughout history. And a group of rebel fighters called the Maccabees, who knew the land because it was their land, were able to fight off this huge army and get them out of the land. And then the Jews needed to rededicate the temple because it had been desecrated. And intentionally so, they like let pigs run through because they knew that Jews didn't eat pig. And, you know. And so Hanukkah actually means rededication. They cleaned the temple, they made it holy again. And then there's a story of the miracle of the oil, that there's a flame that burns in the temple, and actually any synagogue you go to anywhere now still has like a flame that burns all the time. And I mean, mostly it's a light bulb now, but
we're modernizing.
Yeah. And the story goes that they weren't able to get enough oil, and it was going to take 8 nights to get more oil. And through a miracle, that 1 day's worth of oil lasted the 8 days. So we celebrate for 8 days. And for the 8 nights of Hanukkah, we light candles. It's one candle on the first night and then two on the second night, going up to 8 nights. And we eat things that we cook in oil. I know that's just going to come up because any Jewish holiday has to do with food. So the most common food that you know of associated with Hanukkah are potato latkes, which are like potato pancakes, like right, shredded potatoes and onions fried. My favorite recipe for those are to go to Trader Joe's and get the frozen ones. they're like a lot of work to make, and the whole house just like smells like fried
You're
stuff.
An okayest mom. Yeah. I love this.
Absolutely. You know, there's something wonderful about like doing a traditional thing the way that your grandma did it, but like I don't always have the energy for that, even on an eight. I mean, an eight-day holiday has its advantages and its disadvantages, right? Like you can spread it out and like not feel like you have to do everything all at once, but also like 8 days is like a really long time to have a holiday.
That's a marathon for sure.
Yeah.
But Hanukkah is actually a fairly minor holiday. So really the only like religious obligation is to light the candles and say the blessings over them. So we can the rest of your day is normal. Like the kids go to school like normal. There's no like festive meal associated with it. So you can kind of do with it what you want or whatever your family tradition is. So there's plenty of nights where like all we do is light candles.
So do you think that it's kind of been, because I didn't realize it wasn't your like big holiday, because I think it just gets like lumped in with Christmas because it's at the same time. It's like, oh, it's Jewish Christmas, which is not the case.
Exactly. It's not.
Okay.
Really the only two things that they have in common is that like sometimes they line up on the calendar. This year it'll be done by December 6th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's early this year, right?
It is early. Yeah.
Okay.
And so like, it is even more apparent that this has nothing to do with Christmas. but it has been commercialized in the way that, that Christmas has. And so, yeah.
Does your family do presents also on this? Is that one of the ways it's been commercialized?
Of course.
like Christmas has been.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So many families do like 8 nights of gifts. I've steered away from that. Gifts are traditionally not part of Hanukkah. So my rule has always been that the kids don't get gifts from us for Hanukkah, but like they'll get gifts from their grandparents and from friends who send gifts and we'll open those. But I haven't made it a like we open a present every night thing. So there are nights when we don't. And it's not part of it.
So I appreciate that. Like keeping holidays simple, that's kind of been a theme throughout this last year for us too, you know, paring down and keeping it simple and the true meaning of, you know, and I'm not religious at all. Like, I just want my kids to be good humans.
Yeah. You don't need religion for that. they can be good humans without it.
I know plenty of bad humans with religion. Yeah. So. So what are the more, like, what are the bigger holidays then for Judaism, if it's not Hanukkah?
Yeah, sure. So it's the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that come in the fall. So that's the Jewish New Year. And then the Day of Repentance, where we kind of evaluate how our previous year was and like forgive ourselves for last year and like make goals for the year to come. And then Passover. And Passover is in the spring, April-ish. Again, these holidays move around. but that's the one where we have a Passover Seder, which is a big meal together that is has a service as part of it. And it's a home holiday, just like Hanukkah is a home holiday. And then during Passover, we don't eat anything with grain, basically, for 8 days, except for a cracker called matzah. But we don't eat bread. There's like a list of grains we don't eat during that time.
Now, is Passover similar to Easter? Excuse me.
No.
Okay. But it's one of those ones that kind of like happened.
We've been misinformed our whole life.
It's nothing like Easter.
Okay.
Well, but first of all, I mean, religiously it's not, because like we have nothing to do with Jesus.
Right.
Right. So,
right.
Like, just like we're not interested in his birth, we're also not interested in the idea that he rose from the dead.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, seasonally, it's a spring holiday. Like, we eat eggs and, no, there's nothing. Never mind. I don't know. I'm trying to connect them.
Don't. No, because I think in my mind, because again, it's like Hanukkah and Christmas are the same time, and Passover and Easter are kind of sometimes the same time, depending on how they fall. So. I think I just kind of equated the two in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like they fall the same around the same time of year, but no, they're not related at all.
Okay. Truthfully, I don't know much about Easter either. So. Okay. So let's talk about the food. Food is seems to be one thing that connects all of us, no matter what holiday you're celebrating, what time of year. So.
Right.
So what are some of your favorite Hanukkah dishes?
So I mentioned potato latkes, which are of course a favorite, like fry anything and I'm in.
100%.
Right. And it's potatoes and onions, which are the best
sold
combination. We're good. And traditionally those are served with either sour cream or applesauce. And like, there's always a debate about like, which is better.
What's your, what do you sour cream think?
Like, obviously.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
That would be my first guess. Yeah. Right? My first inclination.
But those are the two things that are traditionally served with them. And the other huge Hanukkah food are sufganiyot, which are jelly donuts. And that's a traditional food in Israel for Hanukkah. And their bakeries are just like full of like filled donuts with traditionally different like flavored jelly, but also like all the different like cream varieties and things like that. Yeah. Again, fried in oil.
And you have a recipe for this on your blog, correct?
I do. I have a shortcut recipe because
Okay.
I mean, again, who has time?
Yep.
So you can use pizza dough, like pre-made pizza dough, or pre-made like refrigerator biscuit dough, and you can fry it just like you'd make fried dough out of it. I don't know if you know this, but like make some fried dough for yourself. And so you can fry them in oil on your stove, and then we use like a Ziploc bag full of jelly and fill them up. And
oh, I love it.
Like, yum.
Yeah. That's the thing my kids talk about. It's like, can we make jelly donuts?
That's the part they like. Yeah,
well, who needs presents when you have jelly donuts? I mean, come on, that sounds amazing.
Absolutely. And the other thing, which is only minorly a food thing, are Hanukkah gelt, the like chocolate coins that are covered in the foil. While like presents are not a traditional thing for Hanukkah, giving a little bit of money was like gelt. Gelt is the word for money in Yiddish. And so we have those chocolate coins for that. And we use them to play the game of dreidel as well. So a dreidel is the four-sided top that has Hebrew letters on it. And you spin the top and you do whatever, like each letter corresponds with something that you do. So, and it's just like I guess it's kind of like a gambling game. But it's a nice way to sit around and all play together. And it's something that even like little kids can pick up really easily.
You like can take a coin or like pass a coin and like share it, right?
Well, so like everyone has their own little pile, and then there's a pile in the middle. Mm-hmm. And each letter on the dreidel, if you get, it's actually an anagram for a phrase, Nes Gadol Hayasham, which means a great miracle happened there. So again, to like remember the miracle of the oil. And if it lands on a gimel, you get everything that's in the middle. If it lands on a hay, you get half of what's in the middle, which is a great way to teach your kids what half is, like, right, moving the little things around, all those manipulatives we're supposed to do. Nun means you do nothing. And then shin means you take one from your pile and put it back in the middle. And then it like goes to the next person and they spin their dreidel.
Okay, I love it. My, he's a second grader now, but I guess it was in kindergarten, you know, in before times, they learned about this game, but he couldn't come home and explain it to me. And he asked for a dreidel for Christmas. And so I think we might be getting him one.
Oh, that's awesome. Get him a dreidel.
So let's piggyback on that a little bit. So Brittany and I value sharing other cultures with our children. And I think it's hard to find the appropriate way to do that without making it our culture, but thank also you. Like honoring the reason for it. Do you have any ways that you suggest incorporating Hanukkah with our families that we can honor the holiday?
I really appreciate you asking this question too, because I, as a Jewish influencer, people will reach out to me to like learn what to do for the holidays. And there are some things that if you are not Jewish, you shouldn't be doing. We are a closed religion, and like there's some things that are religious and for us. And that would include lighting candles or saying the blessings. That's an us thing. But playing dreidel is totally something that we could share. Anytime you are invited to participate, like we will invite people over for Hanukkah or to come to a Passover Seder or come to Shabbat dinner, you are more than like that. Celebrating a Jewish holiday with Jewish people is always okay. On my YouTube channel, I do have a video about how to play dreidel. And on my blog, I have printable instructions. So if you're a parent and you want to do something with your class, or if you're a teacher who's looking to do something, there's printable instructions that it has some vocabulary on there too. The other way to expose your kids is by watching TV shows that have Hanukkah in them. Every year I put out a blog post of where to find Hanukkah episodes of your kids' favorite shows. As you know, every show has a Christmas episode. And like in this time of year, our kids are just, there's like no way that you can avoid Christmas things. I tried, like it's impossible. And if you're a kid who doesn't celebrate, it's big time. Like there's a giant party that everybody's going to and you are not invited. However, there are some Hanukkah episodes, and like every year Disney Junior has been putting out a Hanukkah episode with at least one of their shows. Blues Clues is having one. Well, now it will have dropped on the first night of Hanukkah, and I've only seen the description and stills of it, but Blues Clues does a great job, and so I'm confident in how they do. So I have a blog post, and it covers, you know, just like anything, some episodes are better than others, but it's a really great way, again, to just expose your kids to like other holidays and other cultures.
Another thing, I remember this last year, and it was the height of pandemic, and I learned of it like that afternoon, and it was just something we couldn't make happen, but our local synagogue had opened up one of their candle lighting ceremonies to the community. And it was something I tried so hard to get our kids to. And it was like raining that night because they were doing it outside because of COVID. Sure. But that is on my radar this year. We are going if they're doing it. And because I think that's something, like you said, it's okay to participate if you are being invited to do so. And so if there's events like that, I think that's what reaches my kids more than anything. So
absolutely. Oh, and buy those frozen latkes at Trader Joe's.
I will absolutely be buying those. I think I want to try making you're going to have to say the name for me, the jelly oats. Yes, because yes. I know I would love those.
Yes.
Do you have any books about Hanukkah that you recommend or that you use in your home?
I mean, we have a ton of Hanukkah books. Like I even have ones from when I was a kid, which I don't know if you've read books from when you were a kid, but like they've got way more words than books these days.
Yeah,
way longer, right? Like,
just a lot of words. And some of them earlier, like, this is a questionable story.
That's what I thought of immediately. It's like, ooh, I don't know about this.
I mean, check out your local library. Your local library will have books. And, you know, again, with everything, they'll be of mixed quality, but I'm sure that whatever your library has will be fine. I don't have anything that I would particularly send you to.
We've kind of touched on how your kids can feel this time of year when everyone else is celebrating Christmas and not focusing so much on Hanukkah. How do you guys work through that?
So part of how I deal with that is being really big on being Jewish all of the rest of the year. And again, that's one of the reasons why I started my channel, is it like we don't, instead of focusing on what we don't do, right? Like that we don't do Christmas, we get to focus on all of the things that we do do. You asked me about our big holidays and I got to name three for you, but like we have other ones that are also really cool and like other kids don't get to do. So here's another one that is one of my favorites, which is Sukkot, which happens in the fall. It's like our harvest holiday. And you build a temporary hut in your yard outside and you eat in it for 7 days.
That is so cool. My kids would love that.
It's so cool. You like build a fort in the backyard.
Oh my gosh.
It's really a magical space, kind of. And then you take it down, and there is something really special about something that's temporary. Like, I think that's why we like holidays anyway, right? But, and then it's something that we can have people over and share. And again, like that doesn't directly help when you're feeling like you're missing out on Christmas, but it does give you something, but it does like reinforce that like we have our own special things, focusing on the other things.
That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
So anti-Semitism has been a problem forever, obviously.
To put it lightly.
It's getting right. Worse. Yeah. I mean, for the last 2000 years, but also.
Well.
It hasn't gone away, yeah. Which is awful. How do you have these hard conversations with your kids about what other terrible people might say or do because of your religion?
So I haven't had a lot of very serious conversations with my kids about this. I have mentioned that they're, you know, when we had our anti-racism conversations and when we have those conversations, I also do talk about that there are people that don't like us because we're Jewish. I think that kids face this in a very different way. The ways that kids face this is that, and this hasn't happened to my kids yet, but other kids will tell us that we're going to hell. Children will tell other children that they are going to hell. Kids will get teased about not celebrating Christmas. Like, ha ha, you don't get Santa, that kind of stuff. And there's other conversations that, like, you know, I listened to your Christmas episode about getting ready for Christmas and about putting inflatables out. And my husband and I have to have like a talk every year about whether or not to be overtly Jewish outwardly, right? Outside our home. Up to this point, we've chosen to hang a giant Jewish star, like covered in tinsel on our front door. But we understand that we may be putting ourselves at risk by doing that. And like, I'm sure that that's not a conversation that people who are decorating for Christmas have with their spouses every year. You know, again, I live in a very diverse community. And if there's, you know, people walking around in hijab all the time, then I feel foolish to, you know, hide who I am. And that, like, but again, it's a talk that we have. Another tradition of Hanukkah, going back forever, is that when you light your menorah, you put it in your window. And the idea is that like to light up the night, that like the light of hope and things is like spread through the world. And again, it's a tradition that people have slowly crept away from because of their fears of anti-Semitism. So another way that I've encountered this as a parent is in dealing with holiday things at school. I do my best to deal with these things proactively. So like my kids' school used to have a spirit week the week before winter break. And it would be like holiday socks this day, holiday hats this day, wear your holiday colors. And when we're in it, I don't say anything. Teachers work hard enough, like we've done it. But the next year I wrote an email ahead of time just being like, can we make some of these like not holiday, right? Like holiday socks exist because of the commercialism of Christmas. Not so many Jews have socks. Also, in a year when Hanukkah will be over 3 weeks before Christmas, right? Saying it's a holiday thing and expecting Jews to show up to like represent their holiday 3 weeks after the holiday is beyond absurd.
When I think it goes back to that point of Hanukkah is not just Jewish Christmas. You can't just, they're not interchangeable things, and you can't just slap the holiday generic label on things and make it okay.
Well, no, and I think by calling it holiday, it's denying the Christmasness of it when that's really what it is.
It's a weak attempt to make it inclusive. Right.
Right. Yes. But like, let's not fool ourselves. Like you're just saying Christmas and you're not doing something. Again, I live in a very diverse community. There's no representation of Diwali Day. Like, right. My kids are not the only ones who are not Christian in our school. The other problem that I run into, and again, it's about kind of the other thing that comes up is getting pushback when I set boundaries about what my kids will participate in and what they won't. So I'll say in preschool, they did like a holiday sing every year and the kids were wearing green or white scarves. And most of the songs are Christmas songs. And like, even if they don't mention Jesus, like every family will make their own choices. But I was like, eh, this feels like Christmas to me. This isn't our holiday. We're just gonna not participate. And what will happen is people will push back and they'll be like, yeah, but Santa isn't really Christmas. Santa is just cultural. Everyone can do Santa. When, you know, like my kid doesn't have to do the holiday sing. Like I know some parents like love that stuff. Like, I don't want to go. Like, I don't.
I was just going to say that's got to be such a hard line to walk because you don't want to single your kids out, I'm sure, make them feel like they're missing anything. Because I know how much time goes into practicing that. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're going to pull them out of school every time they're practicing their songs. So but also you want them to be proud of who they are and represent their religion and heritage. And so I'm sure that's got to be really difficult to find the balance of.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I'll kind of cross this bridge as we come to it year after year. You know, the first time that I had to make that choice, my kid couldn't, you know, wasn't very interested in doing it anyway. And so it wasn't a big deal. But you know, some of these teachers feel like it's very important, right? Or that somehow you're calling them out for not being inclusive, but like it's just a family choice. Like, no, thank you. Not participating in this one.
I really love that you are so steadfast in choosing what's good for your family and letting go of all the rest. That's something I really struggle with. And that's actually something we've started this brand. Like that's kind of the theme of why we're doing this, but I really admire that.
So how would you like to see the holidays in your perfect world, in your kids in public secular school?
Yeah.
How would you like Christmas in particular handled?
Not at all.
Do you like any kind of holiday? I think it's
okay to educate kids about holidays from an educational standpoint. I don't think we need a holiday sing. I mean, it could just,
yeah,
right? Like they can sing about other things.
How do you feel about calling it like winter break or like, you know, like instead of holiday saying winter?
I mean, it's still the same thing. Christmas song?
It's the same thing.
Right. Yeah, totally.
I mean, unless you're singing like just Frosty the Snowman, I guess.
It's funny because, you know, people get up in arms about like putting Christ back in Christmas. And I fully agree with that. because it's the, yeah, it's the like culturalization of Christmas that makes people not fully realize that like not all of us do this. It's not, and that it's not appropriate to like have in school.
Yeah, I totally see that.
Do you have Jewish friends who have adopted some Christmas traditions? I know like sometimes people will have a Christmas tree just because they like it.
Well, I have many friends who are interfaith families, right? Where both parents come from different traditions,
mm-hmm,
and they'll do some version of celebrating both. Mm-hmm. Some people will only celebrate Hanukkah in their home and then celebrate Christmas like with their spouse's family. And then some people literally do both. Right. They light candles for Hanukkah and they have a Christmas tree for Christmas.
It's like a lot of work.
It does. Yeah. I got to say, you guys, you know, Christmas looks like, I'm not sad about opting out of that. It looks
it's exhausting.
Like listening to your episode about it. And I used to work retail. Y'all make it look miserable. Expensive. But
we do
it
and then we think of other dumb shit to do too, like this elf. And it's like, why do we keep doing this to ourselves?
Yeah, no, thank you. Which is why when I'm like, no, presents aren't a part of our holiday. We are not participating in that.
That's
love it.
But I think because so much of it, like you mentioned putting the Christ back in Christmas, like I think so much of that has been removed. Like, because we don't, mm-hmm, celebrate Christmas from the religious standpoint at, mm-hmm, all. It's about like the magic of it and Santa and inflatables in my yard and we're so far removed. Like, I don't even think we know how to go back because it's been so commercialized that I don't even think there's a way to, I mean, of course there is a way to do that, but like, as like a whole, I don't think.
Well, and I'm not saying that you have to, but it is important to right. remember that it's like, it is a Christian holiday.
Right. Yeah.
Like, not everyone is going to participate in it, no matter how like watered down it is or whatever.
But I think the good point there is that it is what you make it. And if you want to be the mom rushing around trying to make all this magic all the time, like it doesn't have to be that way. And it, I think we can kind of look to Hanukkah as a way to say like, it's about the traditions and the religious aspect of it and being with family and not so much about like what's in this box.
That is one of the advantages of having holidays that are not fully commercialized. Is that many of our holidays, you know, someone recently asked me if we decorate our houses for our holidays. And the answer is basically no, but no one sells decorations for our holidays. Our holidays still have their religious meaning. And what we do on them are the religious things. And then it's the family things. And it's the things that our families have done for thousands of years. Right. And it's connecting in that way. I will note, like, what do Jews do on Christmas? Just like you are invited to Jewish things, you can do Jewish things. We go to our friend's house for Christmas brunch. And I don't know that all Jewish families would do that. I got to tell you that if you don't celebrate like Christmas or Easter, they're like the most inconvenient days. Like, nothing's open.
I totally see that. Right? There are things people don't think about, you know, everybody lives in their bubble and they think everybody thinks like them. I mean, we've seen it more the past 2 years than we ever have before. Yeah.
And I mean, there's the thing about Jews, like going to a movie and Chinese food on Christmas. And that's because the Chinese restaurants were owned by people who also didn't celebrate Christmas. And the movies were always open. But so we eat brunch, we go to brunch at my friend's house for Christmas. We're not there Christmas morning. Like, we don't do our own Christmas in our house. And I explain to my kids like that their beliefs are not our beliefs. But again, it's like the term, the way we usually explain it is it's like a birthday party. Like, right. Hmm. You go celebrate someone else's birthday party with them, but like.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Totally. It absolutely is.
Well, Marty, thank you so much for having this conversation with us and helping us open our eyes. And I feel like so much of this can be so complicated and clumsy to discuss. And we just so appreciate you taking the time to do this with us.
Well, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you for having me. Thank you for asking these questions. You know, as Jews, like people... Well, some people are aware of Hanukkah, but we're less than 2% of the U.S. population and like less than 1% of the world. So plenty of people have no idea what Hanukkah is and don't live near people who are Jewish. So thanks for letting me share this.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at okayestmomsblog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.